My name is Aya Santa Chita, and I'm originally from Austria, so I speak with an accent. Will I be spotlighted? I'd like to start by introducing Aya Nana Bodhi, who sits next to me. We are currently in the library of Aloka Vihara, and behind us is the shrine with the Buddha and Mahapachapati Gotami, who was the foster mother and maternal aunt of the Buddha and the first leader in the Bhikkhuni Sangha. And Aya Nana Bodhi is together with me the co-founder of Aloka Vihara Forest Monastery, and we have met 1992 in Amaravati Buddhist Monastery in England. And Aya Nana Bodhi is originally from Wales. And she comes from a small village with about like 500 people living there. It's called Grimich in Welsh. And it's at the Briselli Hills. This is very special bit of landscape in Wales where the bluestone for Stonehenge Inner Circle comes from. So Aya Nana Bodhi had the privilege to be born in this powerful land, and she spent a lot of time there in the hills, and still, you know, thinking back how wonderful that was to be born in this special place. And then she connected with Buddhism very young, in her teens, and came to Amaravati Buddhist Monastery in her early 20s and became an Anagarika, a postulant nun with 24, so very early in life, and she's still a nun. Then we were together training in Amaravati Buddhist Monastery for about 17 years, and then at the end of 2009, we were invited to San Francisco to start Aloka Vihara. This is now 12 years ago almost, And then in 2011, we, together with Aya Nimala, ordained as bhikkhunis at Spirit Rock. And then in 2014, we moved from San Francisco out here. And Aya Nana Bodhi is, you know, very dedicated to wanting to carve out some space for the training of female monastics, and also very interested in being close to nature, and she looks after the forest here. We have 17 acres of forest, and I think that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. And I'd like to introduce Aya Dhammadipa sitting here. So Aya Dhammadipa has been practicing Buddhism since 1987, and we got to know her a little bit before she came to live here, for a few years. She has been living here at Aloka Vihara since 2017, and she took full ordination as a bhikkhuni this year here at Aloka Vihara with the support of the local bhikkhuni sangha and Bhikkhu Sangha, the Sri Lankan Bhikkhu Sangha from Santa Clara and LA. And before coming here and taking the Theravada precepts, she was ordained as a nun in the Soto Zen tradition since in 2007. So already a long time ordained. And that came after already 20 years of practice in the Zen tradition. She's a Dharma heir in the Suzuki Roshi lineage, and she teaches Dharma both in English and in Spanish. So she's Colombian American, and she's has bilingual. And she is also a very beautiful artist. So quite late in life, she started exploring painting, and she comes up with these very, very beautiful paintings. They appear in the Vihara here and there. And she's also a very beautiful sewer. So when there's an opportunity to give gifts, Venerable Dhammadipa often makes very beautiful cloth sewing pieces to wrap suttas or for sacred uses. And she's also working on two books at the moment. One is about alms round, going on alms round in the Zen tradition and in the Theravada tradition, and one is about the Heart Sutra. So creative and gifted being. So very happy that you're here with us.
Thank you. And so it's my pleasure to introduce Aya Santachitta. And actually, some things have already been said about her, that she was born in Austria, that she came to the United States in order to found Aloka Vihara together with Ayananda Bodhi. But earlier, before that, coming to the States, Aya Santachitta actually has a degree in cultural anthropology. She studied cultural anthropology back home in Austria, and then she was living in Thailand, actually, when she met her first teacher, Ajahn Buddhadasa, very, very respected Thai master. That happened way back in 1988. And then from 1993 until her coming here to the States, she practiced in the UK at Amaravati, as she mentioned, and in parts of Asia. She's also received teachings in the lineage of Dilgo Khyentse Rinpoche in Tibetan style of practice of Buddhism. And that's dear to her heart, as well as her very strong, I would say passionate, commitment to the environmental justice and climate response activism. So that is near to her heart, and most recently, so she's a citizen of both Austria and the United States. She became a citizen recently here in the United States. But her most recent project is actually beginning to teach again in her native language, in German. And she's been offering those teachings online in recent months and planning to continue that and grow that that community of people who are accessing the Dhamma in that language in a different way. So that is Aya Santachitta.
And I'd also like to introduce Lissa. Can you spotlight Lissa, Kathy? Thank you. So as Kathy mentioned earlier, Lissa Edmund will be offering movement during this time. There she is. They are. And Lissa was with us last year also in person. And very, very happy to have you back, Lissa, with us. So Lissa uses the pronouns they, them, and we actually missed saying our pronouns. So I use she, they.
And I use she, her.
She, her.
So Lissa, they, them, began practicing meditation and mindful movement guided by the teachings of Buddhism in 2008 and identifies practice as a deep form of love and care. Lissa studies in the Zen and Theravada Buddhism traditions and is particularly interested in the intersections of Dharma, justice and embodied racial care. Lissa is certified to teach mindfulness meditation, yoga, qigong and interplay and is a somatic integrative mental health nurse practitioner. Lissa shares practices that are compassionate, social and racial justice-oriented and trauma-responsive for the well-being and liberation of all beings. And Lissa, would you say a little bit about what you will be offering during the retreat?
Hello, I'll be offering mindful movement with an emphasis on Qigong, so it'll be accessible and pretty gentle. That's my intention. You can do it seated or standing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A And maybe, Lisa, where are you right now? You are in New York?
I'm in northern New Jersey, the unceded land of the Lenape peoples.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And we are in Nishnan. It's actually not quite clear. We've been looking into, it's either Nishnan or southern Miwok unceded territory. We're right on the sort of border between the two, so we're not quite sure which of those we are. Yes, thank you.
Okay, so are we ready to transition to a little bit of discussion about the container of this retreat? And so, first of all, again, a really warm welcome to all of you joining us here for the Aloka Vihara New Year's Retreat. It is a lovely tradition that has been ongoing for a number of years. Closing out a year and beginning another year with clarity, really, with clarity and intention and shared community. So it's beautiful to see your faces here and to know that we've come together for that purpose. Excuse me. And so I just want to say a little bit also about some of the differences between doing an online retreat and sitting a retreat in person, because typically this a kind of retreat would have been offered in person, and you've heard some of that, some of those details already, but to talk about it in terms of the container of practice or the way in which we'll be holding each other's practice during the course of these next few days, I think is important. So obviously being online, as Kathy has mentioned, enables many more people to participate from many places. And it means that each of you is offering your own physical supports. So there you are in your home or in whatever place you've chosen to be sitting together with the group. And I hope that you are bringing the physical supports that will enable you to settle and also to stretch yourself a bit. So having comfortable enough sitting equipment, whether that be a cushion or a chair or a bench, something. I said oftentimes it's good to have a couple of options when you're sitting a retreat of several days long so that you can really respond to what's happening in the body and mind. And you'll also be providing your own food, so making sure that you're offering yourself food that's nourishing, that's supportive, enough water, care for the body, right? Nourishment for the body. And we'll say a little bit more about that during the meal reflections. As much as possible, having a space that's uncluttered, but also having a space that has some way for you to relate to the practice, whether that means that you have set up a home altar or you're enjoying the image of the altar here at Aloka Vihara when we're present. And even when we're not present, you'll see, as we had earlier, the image of the Buddha here in the Aloka Vihara library as a support, as an inspiration for all of us, the Buddha as our refuge. And again, and as much as possible, also maintaining silence. So I know that depends to large degree on other folks who might be moving in the same space as you. And maybe you've had some of those conversations, but just to acknowledge that speaking is a form of stimulation of the mind. And to the extent that you can put that down, then you will also have less stimulation when you're sitting. So the silence can be a very deep support, even if you feel that there is a lot of chatter still happening in the mind. It's always interesting, I think, when we emerge from retreat and notice subtle changes that have been happening from day to day that were so subtle that we didn't notice them during retreat. So give yourself the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of as much silence as you can muster over the course of the next 4 days. So those are some things that are a little bit different that you are providing for yourself in the retreat space. But there are things that are similar, right? We are still seeing each other's faces. We're still seeing each other sitting. We're still hearing each other's voices at the Q&A periods. And this is really a tremendous support. It is a way of really acknowledging that our shared intention is what brings us together here. Our shared intention toward clarity. Toward clarity. And so that's aided by the efforts of Kathy and Lish, who, as the managers, have already been investing quite a bit of effort in bringing us all together here. It's aided by everyone who supports Aloka Vihara in one way or another and makes it possible for us to live here and gather here. And it's aided by the Dhamma that we each bring. So each of you bringing the Dhamma of your own practice, and the three of us bringing the Dhamma of the practice that we are doing, the teachings that have been invested in us as instruments of Dhamma. And as you heard in our introductions, three unique expressions of Dhamma, different perspectives for sure will be coming up, and that's part of the beauty of what we can offer here together. But I want to say again that in terms of what we share is, I believe that we also share the intention for taking up ethics, taking up an upright practice, a practice of non-harming. During this time that we're together, if not at all times. And so in order to support that, we also will be practicing with the precepts. So the precepts were mentioned a little bit during the introduction. And at this point, I'd like to go ahead and transition to sharing the precepts with you. And so, if you printed out the book, you can turn to page 72. If you're looking at the PDF version, I believe it's page 74. That's the five precepts. So it begins with taking the three refuges, the homage to the Buddha, actually, and the three refuges, and then the five precepts. And so what I'd like to do is go ahead and offer both the five precepts and the eight, but what we'll do is we'll do one full set first and then the other set. So, Kathy, will you be taking the five?
I'll be taking the five precepts.
Okay, great. So then we'll go through everyone. We'll do homage to the Buddha and the three refuges together. And then those of you who are taking eight precepts, just pause at that point. All right? And then we'll do the five precepts together. And then I will repeat, starting from the beginning, the eight precepts. And those are on the next pages, right immediately after the five. So If you're taking the 8, you can just scoot on over to page 74, 75 in the physical book, or whatever that is, the next thing in the PDF. So Kathy will be has graciously agreed to be doing the call and response on everyone's behalf. So if your mic is not muted at this point, please do so.
I'm unmuted, sister.
Great, thank you. And again, just to say this, the Buddha offered the ethical precepts as a practice which is really foundational to any progress on the path. In order to have a mind that has enough clarity and enough fearlessness to be making progress on the path of awakening, we need this commitment to the precepts. So we'll begin again with paying homage to the Buddha as an awakened being, as the Arahant, the Blessed One, and then taking refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. We'll do that in Pali. So I'll begin with the Namo Tassa 3 times, and then Kathy, you can repeat 3 times after that. And then we'll do call and response for the refuges. And everyone else can follow along. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi.
Ti saraṇāgamanāni titaṃ. Lovely. So folks, again, who are taking the 8 precepts, please just pause right here for a moment and we'll come back to you after we take offer the 5 precepts to folks who are taking the 5. And the key differences, and for folks who may not be familiar with it, is the 5 precepts, the 3rd of the 5 precepts is refraining from sexual misconduct, whereas in the 8 precepts, the 3rd precept is refraining from all sexual activity. And then the 4th and the 5th are the same, And then the additional three are about not eating after noon, between noon and dawn of the next day, not eating at inappropriate times, refraining from entertainment and beautification, and not lying on a high or luxurious bed. Those are the three additional for the eight precept folks. So if you're not sure, then you can take the five at this point and you can do a little more research on it. Okay. All right. So, Kathy, what I'd like to do is go ahead and chant both the Pali and, or I'll chant the Pali, and if you would chant the Pali and the English. You have it in front of you that you could do it that way?
Yes.
Great. Panatipata veda manisika padang samadhiyami.
Panatipata veda manisika padang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from taking the life of any living creature.
Adinadana veda manisika padang samadhiyami.
Adinadana veda manisika padang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given.
Kame sumi chachara veda manisika padang samadhiyami.
No, it's Abrahmacharya.
Yeah, I don't have that one. Abrahmacharya.
Sorry. No.
Oh, no, we're doing the five.
Sorry.
Kame sumi chachara.
Sorry.
That's the, I undertake the precept to refrain
I
from.
I have now.
Kame
sumi chachara veramani sikapadam samariyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct.
Great. Thank you. Musavada veda manisika padang samadhiyami.
Musavada veda manisika padang samadhiyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from false and harmful speech.
Sura meraya majapamadatana veda manisika padang samadhiyami.
Sura Maria Maja Pama Datana Veramani Sikapadam Samariyami.
I undertake the precept to refrain from consuming intoxicating drink and drugs which lead to carelessness.
Imani Pancha Sikapadani Silena Sugatinyanti Silena Bogasampada Silena Nibutinyanti Tasma Silam Visotaye.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yes.
Sadhu.
Thank you. Beautiful. So now for those who want to take the eight precepts, I think, Kathy, if... might be best if you just mute yourself at this point, mute your mic, and I will just go ahead and chant the full eight in Pali and in English, and those who are taking it can just follow along at the same time rather than do a call and response, because I haven't set up with anybody yet. So rather than call in somebody, we'll just go ahead and say it simultaneously for those who are taking eight. Panatipata veda manisika padang samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking the life of any living creature. Adinadana veda manisika padang samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from taking that which is not given. Abrahmacharya veda manisika padang samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from any kind of sexual activity. Musavada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from false and harmful speech. Sura Miraya Majapamadatana Veda Manisika Padang Samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating drink and drugs which lead to carelessness. Vikala Bhojana Veda Manisika Padang Samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from eating at inappropriate times. Nachagita Vadita Visukadasana Mala Ganda Vilepana Dharana Mandana Vibhusanatana Vedamani Sika Padang Samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from beautification, entertainment, beautification, and adornment. Uccha Sayana Maha Sayana Vedamani Sika Padang Samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from lying on a high or luxurious sleeping place. Imani Atta Sika Padani Samadhiyami. You could say that three times. I undertake these eight precepts. Imani Sika Padani Silena Sugatinyanti Silena Boka Sampada Silena Nibutinyanti Tasma Silang Visotaye.
Sadhu, 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 sadhu.
That last part means these are the precepts. The precepts are the source of true happiness, true wealth, true wisdom. Let your sila, your ethics, your uprightness be clarified, be purified.
Sadhu.
So now we're going to invite the devas.
So as you know, this is something we do when we're in the hall all together usually, and we invite all of the forces of goodness and protection to come and take part in the teachings and the practice, and to rejoice in your practice and in your sila. And now on Zoom, it's kind of interesting because we're all over the world here gathered. So I would say this is, you know, it's really about the intention of inviting those forces wherever we are, wherever we may be, to invite those forces of nature in a way that to come and also benefit from this practice and to support us in our practice. So as we chant, I sense you double chant in part the Pali language, just to align your heart, open your heart to the possibility of there being to your practice benefiting those you cannot see, and to there being perhaps support from natural forces that are not immediately obvious.
Paritava nametang sameta badanta avikita chitta paritang banantu Samantra Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammang Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokatang Sage Kame Charupe Girisikaratate Chantalike Vimane Tiperate chagame taruvana gahane gehavatum hikete Bumma chayantu deva chalatala visame yakaganda banaka Titanta santikeyang muniwara wachanang sada ome sunantu. Buddha dasana kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savana kalo ayang badanta. Sangha pairupa sana kalo ayang badanta.
So now I want to speak a little bit about the theme of our retreat, which is the Four Immeasurables and the Boundless Heart Mind. And the Four Immeasurables is in a different way of speaking about the four Brahmaviharas: metta, loving-kindness, karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, and upekkha, equanimity. And there are four universal tones of empathy, which is, there are four dimensions of the heart mind we all have, you know, in seed form, and through cultivation we can, you know, strengthen them and also make them more accessible for us so that they might be a support for our lives. And, you know, through your own meditation practice, you surely have seen, you know, how much, you know, our mind is constantly seeking for happiness, seeking for pleasurable experiences, and, you know, and is averse to painful or boring or confusing experiences. So we have this innate drive for happiness. And the Four Brahmavihara practice is a practice which, you know, is informed by that inner drive for happiness, but at the same time, you know, it's a refinement and a purification of that drive for happiness. And, you know, through getting to know ourselves, how we are, you know, constantly, you know, wanting a better experience, wanting a new experience, wanting a different experience, we can extrapolate how it is for others. So we actually know a lot about others by just watching our own minds and our own hearts. And then, you know, through that understanding that we are all in our different ways, you know, seeking happiness and wanting to run away from suffering, this Brahmaviharas stem from that deep understanding of the predicament of what it is, you know, to be a human being. And then, you know, through some skillful practices, we start with a simple object, like something which naturally, you know, brings up that heart quality of friendliness, like a little puppy or a kitten or a baby or some sweet object, you know, you where your heart kind of just automatically leaps up. And then we use an object like that and have an experience of metta, which is the basic of the four qualities, the foundational quality of metta, friendliness. And then, you know, we feel that and slowly but surely start to expand it, you know, throughout our whole body and then beyond the body, you know, radiating it all around, above and below. And there is a chant also, which we will share with you, which is actually the basic meditation instructions, how this radiation of the four Brahmaviharas has been taught for over 2,600 years already. And it still works in the same way, because we all have these seed qualities. And we just need to connect and experience them consciously and then, you know, spreading them out, strengthening them so that they become more portable, so that we can, in daily life, we can access them. Because, you know, that's what makes us, you know, as a Homo sapiens, made us quite successful in creating, you know, those big gatherings of people living together in cities and in civilizations, which have been rising and falling, because we have this basic capacity for empathy, and you know, that capacity for empathy is naturally, you know, the strongest developed between like a mother and a child, and then, you know, over the development of culture, then that capacity was expanding through social stability. Once it was clear, you know, that the men have a contribution for the, you know, women bringing a child into the world, then that, you know, the men would then stay with that mother, and through that social stability, the capacity for empathy was, you know, expanding. And that had a big impact also on the development of the human brain. And so this capacity is essential, you know, for us. What makes us special that we can live together in such huge groups because of that capacity. And this practice, you know, takes advantage of that natural capacity we already have, and through skillful means expands it more and more, makes it stronger and stronger. And through that practice, you know, the mind becomes more and more expansive, and at the same time, you know, the attachment to the happiness which comes from the senses is let go of, because that happiness which comes from the heart, from those universal four dimensions of empathy, that is a much more subtle, at the same time much more elevating and much more satisfying way of experiencing happiness, an unworldly happiness which doesn't depend on the senses. And then once that is understood, how that works, and that this is our common inheritance we all have, then it becomes easier to let go of the sense pleasures. That's why the four Brahmaviharas are also very important for insight practice, not only, you know, for practice to develop more kindness and to, you know, develop powerful concentration, but also to prepare the mind for insight. And, you know, how those four Brahmaviharas can work together to expand the mind in ways, you know, we could not imagine that this is possible. That for, you know, certain amount of time, when those Brahmaviharas are really brought to the fore, the mind is immeasurable, and we can experience that consciously. And that's what we would like to share with you over those few days. And yeah, I think that's all I'd like to share with you today.